Did you hear, I don't know if you've heard, I guess we need to give congratulations to Rich and to Dabo Swinney. Rich,
I'm still basking in the Dabo afterglow.
Yeah, yeah. So Rich picked Dabo Swinney to win the Bear Bryant Award, which he did for the third time in four years.
It was a lock when we learned voting didn't take place till after Monday.
Yeah, I didn't feel great about my Bill Clark selection after I found that out.
Yeah,
kind of tweaked my selection a little bit. But
it's a good call, Rich. Good pick, baby.
Yeah, didn't take a lot.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that championship game on Monday?
I thought it was a great game, man. I mean, I know it's a little lopsided, but just the shock factor of it being so lopsided Clemson's way, there were plenty of explosive plays that were fun to watch, and really, not being a fan of either, you're just hoping for good football to be played and an exciting game to be played, and all the storylines that come along with the young quarterbacks and the history behind Alabama and Clemson and Dabo's history with Alabama. Just an entertaining game, man. We couldn't ask for anything more.
Are you buying into Trevor Lawrence being the top prospect, QB prospect, to come out potentially? Obviously, he still has to play for two more years, but he was getting a lot of run. He was getting a lot of run already, but after that game, he's getting a lot of this hyperbolic run where people are going, this guy is the greatest prospect since ... Yeah. You hear names like Peyton Manning in 1998 and things right. like that. Is he on that level in your mind?
He's not on that level yet, but I did a 180 on him before. See, I was very turned off when I watched the Elite 11 competition last year, that him and Justin Fields were the top two quarterbacks, and Fields got the best of him, if you want to say that. It was, if you want to call it a competition, Fields' team in 7-on-7, on at least on TV, they made it look like Fields was having a better day and was winning the competition. And I was very turned off by the way that Trevor Lawrence handled that adversity, that brief window of adversity there that I saw. I was turned off. It was very insecure. It came across very insecure, like he was uncomfortable with just that very little, that little flash in the pan of adversity. And so that placed a little bit of doubt in my mind. And I, watching him throughout the year, I'm not a big fan of freshman quarterbacks being able to play early, even though if you are, you need to do it at Alabama or Clemson.
Yeah, right.
With all that talent around you. So I did a 180 on him, man. I mean, going into the game, I was like, yeah, I'm sure he's a good player. But look, he's a freshman. I don't know how high his ceiling is. Yeah, I mean, he was at prom a year ago. You know, I don't know. And then after the game, here's the take, Sean, is clearly had a great game and clearly a talented guy. But he threw up big numbers and had a big game on the biggest stage of any college guy. And I could see, Rich, I could see in several of his big throws, you could see him not having supreme confidence, like trying to guide the football. And some of them were some of his big plays, the big touchdowns. You could still see a difference in when he was confident pre-snap and he ripped the football, to when sometimes you could see him second-guessing himself.
Right.
When this kid gets to a point where he's not second-guessing himself.
That's what I was just going to say, yeah. Oh. I mean, if he's still able to be that productive with the shortcomings that you've detected, or still the things that are holding him back a little bit, his potential is through the roof. And, Sean, you mentioned getting a lot of run. I'm just going to throw this into the conversation briefly since we're talking about Trevor Lawrence. Also getting a lot of run today are some comments made on a December podcast by Oliver Luck, who is about to run the XFL, which isn't going to start for another year. But Oliver Luck basically said of the rule prohibiting underclassmen from jumping to the NFL, quote, "We're not subject to that. Theoretically, we could take a player right out of high school. I wouldn't rule it out." Now, again, context, an issue, and he said he doubts that would happen, but they're not subject to that rule, you know, and they're going to pay people. They're going to pay their players somewhere between $250,000 and $300,000 a year. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't rule out the possibility of somebody in Trevor Lawrence's position, you know, treating the XFL as a placeholder for him so he can begin his professional career and then move on from there.
Maybe. I would want to see what the league looks like a year or two in before I were to do that or even recommend that to somebody, to make sure it's something that's viable, going to be, to make sure the level of competition there is something that NFL teams would look at and go, okay, this is either a reasonable facsimile of what's going on in college, or maybe he's playing against men. Maybe it's a better gauge of what he could potentially do.
It's a rarity, but in hindsight, Does anyone doubt that Adrian Peterson could have left Oklahoma early and flourished in the NFL?
No, of course
it
not.
It happens. It's very rare, but it happens.
It's like a fraction of 1% of the guys. You know, like when you bring up a name, because people go, what about Jadeveon Clowney? What about Leonard Fournette? What about this guy? What about that guy? You run out of guys, though, after like 7 or 8 guys. There aren't that many guys who you say, yeah, just go ahead.
No doubt.
You know?
Yeah, I think there's a handful of guys that could make that jump. I remember covering Tennessee with the SEC Network. There was an offensive lineman out of East Tennessee. He was the number one recruit in the country that year. He ended up going to Tennessee. Terry Smith. Smith is his last name, I believe. He's one of their offensive linemen right now. But when he walked in the room, he looked like an NFL lineman. You got some really good offensive linemen that are soft-bodied. They're top-heavy. They're not – he walked in a room and he was thick from his ankles to his nose. I mean, everything about him, he was built. He was built to play offensive line. And it was just one of those, you go, this kid could play right now. And there are a few and far between, but there are a few of those guys. The one thing I will say is the Lawrence family would strongly consider that option if it was an option today, if Dabo would have ran him on that quarterback keeper one more time.
Yeah.
That sucker was folding up like a 92 lawn chair,
dude,
man.
Dude, he was putting his head down. He was putting his head down like he was like Natron Means or something.
But
like,
sitting at 6'6 or 6'7 or whatever he is, I mean, there's no easy way to go down. I mean, you know, he was getting folded up, and all I could see every time he went down was a knee or a back or a shoulder.
Neck.
You're just going,
yeah.
Man, just hand the ball off. You got 28-point lead in the fourth. Let it go.
Well, and especially because when he was in the pocket, nobody was touching him. Right. Like, you're willingly putting him in harm's way by running these, you know, running these designed runs for him. And he literally didn't get hit. In the pocket, he didn't get hit all night.
Right.
That's not an exaggeration. That's a statistical fact. Alabama had 0 QB hits, which also, to me, makes it a little tough to say, okay, well, to base an opinion off of that performance, which, let's face it, a lot of the national guys were probably doing, you know, that they watched that, and now it's time to go on all our talking head shows and say all these big flowery things that we can argue about on a show and talk about where Trevor Lawrence stacks up with these all-time greats because of what he did to Alabama. This wasn't Alabama's best defense that Nick Saban's had. It's been more...
nowhere close.
It's been more towards the back end of quality of defenses he's had. And Trevor Lawrence didn't get hit. I remember Deshaun Watson making throws in those games where he beat Alabama. There was one he made on the game-winning touchdown drive where he had a helmet in his chest as the ball is leaving his fingers. Like, you could watch that game and go, man, Deshaun is being asked to do things, and he's doing things that are going to make him successful at the next level.
Sean, that Alabama defense is heavily overrated, number one, and have been all year long. They're good. They're good, and they're as good, if not better, than 99.9% of college defenses right now.
Right.
But they are a far cry from the 2016, 2015, 16, 17 defense that they put out there. They are a far cry. They lost 6 DBs in the secondary. I heard Herb Street say that on the telecast. There's the front. Quinnen Williams is a good front, but they're nowhere near end-to-end, nowhere near, not even close to what they were the previous 3 seasons.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
There's no doubt. I think there's more about this game on the Alabama side. But it was dominance by Clemson. It was a big-time game, big-time step for them, the 15-0, all the things they did in that game, and consider it was versus Alabama. It was obviously huge. I don't want to downplay that at all. But the big story here is I think Alabama's taking a bigger step back than most people are talking about. I think it's Clemson now, the team is Alabama. There's no doubt Clemson is the team moving forward. And Alabama, relative to the national champions and relative to where they were in that 15-16, they've taken a huge step back.
What you just said about Alabama and the defense in particular, I don't know if everybody listening or if you heard our conversation with Dabo Swinney yesterday at the Bear Bryant Award, but he mentioned very quickly, sort of in passing, and I think it spoke volumes when he said very briefly, almost in passing, we liked our matchups against their secondary.
Yeah.
In the post game, immediately after on the field after the game. I can't remember who was interviewing him, but when I heard him say, we knew we were going to have a good night when we saw early in the game that we could dictate what coverages Alabama gave us. That never happens against Alabama. Saban is always dictating the ball coming out early or the underneath throws or forcing a low percentage throw or forcing the quarterback to move the pocket. He's always the guy dictating. And Clemson, Dabo said it plain as day, when we knew that we could dictate what coverage that they gave us by formations and motions, then we knew we could go make plays. That was telling right there.
We had Dabo on the show yesterday for about 20 minutes at the Bear Bryant Awards. We'll sprinkle in some Dabo throughout the show, but as long as we're talking about Trevor Lawrence and the performance on Monday night, here is Dabo breaking down the performance of his freshman quarterback.
You know, there was a lot of talk going into the game, and, you know, he's a freshman and all this and that, but, you know, I'm like, he's played 14 games. He's not a freshman. I mean, this guy is – and for us in college football, when you get to about late October, early November, and you're having the type of season we're having, every week is monumental because it's a playoff game. You lose and you're out. And, you know, so he performed great. He got better and better as we went down the stretch. But on the biggest stage the other night, he showed what he's done all year, and that is poise. His coolness under pressure. When you play Alabama, there's a lot of pressure. He made some unbelievable throws. He had a couple guys make some great catches for him. Our offensive line did a tremendous job with no sacks against that defense. And then just his leadership. You know, he just inspires everyone around him, and that's what the great quarterbacks do. He just has such great knowledge of our system. A lot of people talking about he was going to be confused and this and that, but, you know, he practices against a great defense every day and sees a lot of looks, and sees a lot of looks in our league. So I was really proud of him, but really he just did the things that he's done all year the other night.
I asked Dabo if Deshaun Watson is Michael Jordan, which Dabo said when Deshaun was coming out, that right. If teams passed on him, they'd be passing on Michael Jordan. If Deshaun Watson is Michael Jordan, then who's Trevor Lawrence?
Oh, I don't know. That's to be determined.
Okay.
You know, he's still got a little work to do, but he's pretty dang good, though, I'll tell you that.
Smart answer by Dabo. Not labeling. What would have been funny is if he was like, well, he's Larry Bird.
Right.
And you go, well, that seems a little racist, Dabo.
Yeah, hey, give him another year. I'm telling you, 10 games into next year, man, this kid's going to be lighting it on fire. He's already damn good, but he's going to be lighting it on fire.
And to your point, Clint, about the game maybe illustrating a more profound step back for Alabama than a step forward for Clemson, because Clemson just won a national title 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I think that the other thing you need to factor in, too, is the ACC is terrible right now.
Sure.
You know, a lot of this measurement that's going to go on between these two programs, and not just between Alabama and Clemson, but the way you measure programs as a whole, are trips to the playoff and championships. And to be honest with you, unless the ACC gets its act together and some of these hires that they've made turn into good hires, or, you know, Willie Taggart can get Florida State turned around or whatever the case may be, Clemson is going to have the yellow brick road right into the playoff.
Sure.
Every single year. Alabama is going to have, Alabama already has to deal with LSU. Auburn is an in-state rival that you know, pops up every 3 years or so. They're in the mix for that sort of thing. Texas A&M is going to be a problem with Jimbo Fisher. My gut tells me for Alabama as well. And then you've got Arkansas. I know you love Chad Morris. So Arkansas, we expect them to be more competitive.
Yep.
The two Mississippi schools, one of them always seems to be a fly in the ointment in this whole thing. So Alabama, you know, not only does Nick Saban kind of have to take inventory about where they stack up still among the elite, and they're an elite team, there's no question about that, but just how elite are they when you can only have one champion, right?
Right, absolutely.
I think that's something that now is something they've had to worry about, but not to the extent they may have to worry about the next few years, is, wow, some of these other programs in our division, forget about the conference, in our division have taken a real step up.
Everything's true what you said, Sean. I agree with everything you said, but I can't help but think when we have this conversation about the whole Belichick narrative in New England. Yeah, he's lost a couple of Super Bowls. Right? Saban's lost a couple of national championship games, but they just keep coming back. And I know you just said that, you know, your gut tells you that they may be coming back to the pack a little bit, and they may well be true. And we know there's a connection. Saban once worked for Belichick, and that's unavoidable. But the narrative is also almost identical. And the narrative for Belichick, at least to this point, unless they get embarrassed this weekend, you know, to this point, has proven the narrative largely untrue. Let's see what Saban does from this point.
Well, there's no doubt there's a Belichick, you know, Saban I guess, likeness there that's really special. And look, I'm a culture and chemistry guy from the jump. You can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't have culture and chemistry, then you're not going to win championships. And you're going to lose more games than you should lose.
And they're different personalities.
No doubt about it. But here's the kicker, though. I think the defensive side of the football, attrition. I mean, they lost 6 DBs last week. We talked about it. They're going to lose their best defensive lineman in Quinnen Williams. And how often, usually Alabama just reloads. They struggled reloading this year on the defensive side of the football. When you flip that, do a 180. And go to the offensive side of the football for Alabama. Alabama is vulnerable. The style of offense that they're running right now, the weather's an issue. I think you saw it in the national championship game. The fact that the refs, early in the game, the refs said, we're going to let these DBs and these receivers play. We're going to let them be physical. Trevor Lawrence threw a ball to Renfro, and he was laying on his back on the sideline. Hit him in the head on the sideline. The DB pushed him completely out of bounds and dump trucked him on the sideline. So, hey, they said, we're going to let you be physical. And then what happened in the third and fourth quarter? Jerry Jeudy gets grabbed by the neck, but the DB grabs him. All of those things were things that Saban, with the old offense, never had to worry about. Weather, refs letting them play, pressure in the quarterback, pick sixes, all those things. Those are all things that Saban's never had to worry about until he started this new high-flying offense where the quarterback's catching the ball and gun every time. So it's going to be interesting to me to watch him go, okay, now how do I massage this situation before he got caught in a situation with Auburn where he had to outscore him and he couldn't do it. So he said, I got to tweak something. I can't just be ball control all the time. So he went full out gun. And Dan Enos was at Arkansas. He's going to be a gun guy. He's going to be a one back guy. He's going to be a tight end and two wideouts. He's going to be a spread guy. The question is, how do they stay that course and stay spread out and just keep airing it out?
Can't wait to find out.
11 games on their season, 11 games throughout their season, guys, they're playing on air. Us three could go play defense, might as well. The receivers are creating 4 yards of separation. Quarterback's got 5 yards of cushion in the pocket. There's 3 or 4 a year, and this year they struggled in all 3 or 4 of those games.
Yeah, to that point, and I want to get to Kyler Murray, but if we have to get to him next segment, and by the way, this we're combining breaks right now, so we're going with this really long segment. I'm like, oh, we'll get to Kyler Murray, but there's so many storylines coming out of this game.
Yes.
For a game that was 44-16, it was fantastic theater because we've never seen Nick Saban get slapped around like that in a national championship game, and we hadn't seen Tua really get banged around until the end of the year where they started, they had to play. It started the LSU game. I know they won 29-0, but that was a struggle for a lot of that game for Tua. The Mississippi State game was a bit of a struggle compared to early in the year. Early in the year, they were playing pinball. They were just the betting Alabama in the first half of games in September and October might have paid for one of my kids to get through the first semester of their college this year.
I appreciate you putting me on those, brother. I watched them as they were happening. Appreciate you putting me on them pregame.
Yeah. Should I have told you? Okay, yeah I should have. Don't take any of my betting advice from the last month.
Let me off that text chain, man.
Yeah, yeah.
But Sean, I know where you're going with that. I talked about the top three defenses.
And then Georgia. Yeah, yeah. That's exactly where I'm going. This is your tweet that I'm looking at right here. Okay, so I'm stealing this from
you,
actually.
Baby, I love it.
I'm looking at it. I'm like, I linked the tweet on the rundown and I clicked it. I'm looking at it. I'm sounding really smart. And I look at it. I go, oh, well, that's Clint. Tweet. I should really just let Clint open this tweet.
You got it wrong.
I'm sitting here sharing Clint's thoughts.
Oops.
But Tua versus the three best defensive units on Bama's schedule. This is your tweet. Georgia, LSU, Mississippi State. 55% completion percentage. 207-yard average. 4 touchdowns, 4 picks. The more level the playing field, the more he struggled. Dude's an absolute sniper, no doubt, but y'all might want to slow the stroke. And I love reading Clint Sterner's tweets in my head in Clint's voice. Y'all might want to slow the stroke on that old boy. So I just read some of your thoughts on Tua, but expound upon that.
No, I mean, when I was first asked about Tua, there's no doubt he's filthy as far as throwing the football. But they spend a lot of their time, a large number of their games, might as well be thrown against air. He's got 5-star receivers that are creating 3 and 4 yards of separation. He's got offensive linemen that are holding the line of scrimmage, so there's nobody around the quarterback's feet at all, much less getting hit. They have time for the receivers to work double moves, work head nods, and those are all things that when the field – when there's a level playing field, you don't always have time for those things. And so my at the very beginning of the season, Sean, somebody asked me about him. I said, here's the deal. I want to see who Tua is when adversity hits him in the face on game day. Don't come to me and tell me how great he is versus Arkansas's defense. Hell, North Texas blew up Arkansas's defense.
Right.
Don't tell me about how great he is because you watched what he did against North Texas or what he did against somebody that doesn't have a great defense. Let's wait till the season's over and evaluate how he does against the best. And he struggled. This offense, not just him, this offense struggled mightily against the best of the best on their schedule.
That was that punt returner game, North Texas.
Yeah, right? Remind me of that. It's embarrassing, man. Come on.
The fake fair catch.
What
got him?
What would your grade be on Tua amidst adversity, or you know, in games where he is getting punched in the face?
A D.
A D.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, look. Now, when I grade a quarterback, it's not personal.
Yeah.
And I don't say that backing down from my grade.
You're not racist against Hawaiians. It's
a group effort, man. Yeah. When it's a lot like we watched over here with the Texans this year. When you go into games and you don't use the games against Arkansas and the games against teams that you know you're physically better than them, and you get up 20 points early in the game, if you're still holding the football and running double routes and throwing the ball's traveling 25, 30, 40 yards in the air every time you let it rip, you're not repping the things that you need to rep that are going to be there when the playing field is level. Yeah. When you come against better defenses, you've got to be disciplined to take underneath routes. You can't – I mean, Deshaun – we're going to talk about it later. Deshaun Watson, two shots in the game, he forced them deep. There was a safety deeper than the deepest, and he forced them. That's because he's done it for 16 weeks. And nobody's pulled the reins back.
Checking him,
and
yeah,
we also know now that the starter turned backup that saved their bacon in the SEC championship game, the kid from Chandler, Jalen Hurts, is history. He's about to transfer for his final year of eligibility, and that's a whole nother segment as to where he might go and fit in. Already TCU has been mentioned. Getting back with Lane Kiffin at Florida Atlantic has been mentioned as a possibility. So I don't know what's going to happen there. But if, as you say, well, not you're not saying this, but say he doesn't progress further than the point at which he is now, that backup plan is not going to exist next season.
It's not going to exist, that's for sure. I expect him to progress. I think they'll learn from this. You know, I think there's a changing of the guard at the offensive coordinator position. And I think Saban, the one thing he did, I think when they changed the offense, was he said, hey, things are trending in a way that we've got to at least have the ability to turn the Jets on and go score some points. Yeah. I think he's going to reevaluate this the three, now four game stretch with Clemson and say, hey, we struggled against these teams. We can't stand in the pocket. We can't take the gun. Let these defensive ends, again, in the top three or four defenses you face, if those defensive ends can put their hand in the dirt and pin their ears back and come after our quarterback, even us, as talented as we are, we cannot move the football consistently. And when the field shrinks, I think one good thing, again, I know we're going to hear it later, but when the field shrinks, I heard Dabo Swinney talk about when the field shrinks, the windows get narrow, the margin of error shrinks, and at that point in time, if you're a hard-nosed, downhill run the ball team, then you've got an advantage. If you're an aired-out football team, you've got a disadvantage. Yep. You better be damn good.
Yeah.
And I think they were exposed this year to a point where I believe Saban and Danny Nose will sit down and go, hey, I like what we're doing, moving the rock a little bit, but we got to have a better plan for these types of situations. It can't be just sit the kid in 5 yards deep and snap the ball and hope we can complete some balls. That can't be the answer.
My bookie has odds on where Jalen Hurts is going to go next year, just so you know. I just Googled it.
I like OU.
And, yeah, the embarrassment level of that loss is something that will make you rethink. You know, I mean, a couple of years ago when it went down to the wire and they lost to Deshaun, well, they played well in that game. There's nothing to think we're not doing the right thing in that game. I'm sorry, Sean. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say who the odds on favorites are. Yeah, yeah. TCU is the favorite at 4-1 to land Jalen Hurts. That's who John Harris said yesterday would be a great spot for him to land. They need a quarterback, and they've got a lot of really good skill guys at TCU. That'd be a coup, I think, for both sides. And it'd be I know Big 12 defenses are kind of but it'd be better than going to FAU and playing in CUSA. No disrespect to CUSA.
Yeah, and you know, and Sonny Cumbie's there, the offensive coordinator. I believe he's still there.
Yeah, he is.
And they've done some stuff. I know it wasn't real successful with the Kenny Trillhill years. You know, he went in there, and they've done some stuff that I think Jalen Hurts will.
They tried to with the Robinson kid last year. He just turned the ball over all the time.
Yeah, got a great defense. If I were a quarterback and I were transferring, I'd want to go somewhere where there was a great defense, where they had some good skill players, TCU definitely checks those boxes.
Can I guess?
Yeah, sure.
Might also be
on
the
list? Sure, absolutely.
Oklahoma.
12-1. They're fairly far, but they're about 10 schools down.
Yeah, those Mayfield and Murray transfers worked out pretty well for them.
I get it. My guess is they've got a couple guys lying in wait. Yeah. You want to take a stab at another one?
Well, they got Spencer Rattler, the kid that just came out. He just set a record in a bowl in a high school all-star game, and he'll be there next year. But I like OU. But
how about going to play for Herm at Arizona State?
Not on the list.
Okay.
Arkansas's got to be on there.
Arkansas is 7-1. Yep. Houston is 6-1. even with De'Aaron King.
I mean, he's a question mark until proven healthy, right?
De'Aaron King, yeah.
I tell you what, Holgerson, I'll make you a deal right now, brother. If y'all get Hurts, won't you go on ship King up and down there to Arkansas and let us win a couple games, brother? Come
package
on now.
Deal.
Let's make a deal. Let's get a handshake. Come on now.
The favorites are TCU 4-1, Auburn 5-1. That would be interesting, going from Alabama to Auburn.
Yeah. You mentioned Auburn earlier, Sean. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, man, Gus Malzahn gave up the reins of that offense, and they went backwards. He's taking it back over. They killed in the bowl game. He will get that thing right. Auburn will be nasty next year on offense.
Well, if Hurts went there, that would be a really interesting thing to see.
Would
then.
That not be a
dagger? Yeah. Maryland 5-1. Miami, that would obviously the tie Loxley. With Mike Locksley, yeah. Who's the OC at Alabama, is taking the Maryland job.
And if Major turns up to be the OC at Miami, right?
Well, that's Maryland is 5-1. Locksley's going
to
Maryland.
Miami.
I was about to. Miami 6-1. Houston is 6-1. Arkansas, Florida, Alabama 7-1. So they're saying 7-1. He may stay at Alabama. Florida State, Tennessee 8-1. You got your FAU, Kevin Sumlin in Arizona 10-1. That would be an interesting one.
Well, I know there's a relationship there because I believe A&M offered him coming out.
I'm sure they did.
Here's what I would expect from Hurts. I would expect Jalen to go somewhere where it's not only a good situation, but there are strong ties to quarterbacks leaving and going to the NFL.
Has to be.
There has to be.
You've got to go somewhere where there's a pipeline to the NFL, yep. And there's a job opening.
Yep. Yeah, then somebody wherever he goes, there has to be some kind of tie of a guy there that's going to develop him and help him continue what I think he's done with Dan Enos. Great, it's going to end up being one of the best decisions we've ever seen in college football to stay at Alabama, work with Enos, assuming he goes on and has success.
Yeah,
that could be a huge story moving forward. But I like Oklahoma.
Yeah,
I think Oklahoma is just one of those you go, hey, I sat here and watched two guys do it.
Yeah.
And become greats and play in the college football playoffs, and there's just no reason not to.
It's a good one. It's like he got his quarterback degree for the most part at Alabama, and now he's studying overseas
right.
for a year. That's what he's doing. All right.